Welcome. This is the Meanwhile Podcast. I am Kelvette, your host, and I'm here today with some of my insecure friends, and we're going to talk about episode four. We're going to talk about episode four first, then we're going to talk about episode five. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, so
get it together.
So today on the call, I have with me Erinette.
Hey, hey.
I have Lynette.
Hola.
And I have John, baby boy Boba.
Boop, boop.
All right, so low-key losing it. And this episode starts off with Issa at home prepping for the block party, and all of her neighbors come to the house. And once all the neighbors come to the house, you know, shenanigans ensues. My thing was, I would not want all my neighbors in my house at once.
Well, but they was pissed because ain't no water in the whole entire complex.
I know, but you don't need to come in the house. Y'all could have knocked on the door and said,
yeah. They just all walked in and she didn't stop them. I'm like, why are you going in the house?
It was not a
was
y'all know how to set boundaries.
Absolutely. Boundaries
it
is like
not
the
necessary
magic
for them to go in there.
No. Yeah, like, water no. But then he's like, it smells like flowers in here and it's not even outside. That was pretty funny.
And I like that guy that got that imaginary dog. I'm so confused. Does he have a dog or does
no,
he not
he
have
a dog?
Dog.
If he you remember in the beginning, there she was picking up dog poop and you can hear the dog barking. And he's like, I ain't got no dog.
That's okay. So he does have a dog.
Yes, he does okay. have a dog.
Yeah. So at this point, we're just getting an opportunity to see that sometimes Issa does mess up. You know, sometimes this is just to show part of her pattern where Issa makes mistakes, and we get that. And then they give us a screen that says 1 month before the block party. And we meet up with Molly and Andrew, and Molly's on the couch working on stuff. And she got these big rollers in her hair. Lynette, as a hairdresser, do people ever wear those rollers for real?
Yeah. Not out in public, but, like, they use them.
Where?
I mean, because it gives body to the hair. Gives a body.
To her wig?
Yeah, you know that's all theatrical. Make it seem like it's her hair. You know, we all know it differently.
So she put on the Andrew comes over and they're planning on hanging out. They start kind of making
didn't do nothing for her. It didn't give her body or nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Right. When she took them out, it was flat.
It was super flat. It was like flat. So she's sitting there and Andrew's trying to make out a little bit. They're trying to have some cuddle time. And next thing you know, Molly's like, I'm distracted. Well, he asked her. He was like, are you distracted? And she was like, yeah. And so she ends up going back to do her work. So she's going to do her work. And next thing you know, it's like 1:30 or wait, what was it? 1:42 in the morning. And Andrew was asleep. And at that point, I thought that he was going to be like, look, I'm asleep. It's nighttime. Get out of my face.
That's
he was
a dude. That's a dude.
Oh, he like tapped me on my shoulder. I'll roll over.
Yeah, he ain't. Yeah. Oh, you see, he was naked under the covers. He was ready.
He's
was
like,
he naked? It seemed like he stayed ready.
He was ready. He already knew what was going down.
Yeah, he was fake.
Oh, he was fake sleep. He was like, oh, sleep. I got my eyes closed. Yeah, so then they end up hooking up or whatever. And I'm just like, Molly, I don't know. I have a lot of strong feelings about Molly, but I definitely don't know where to put them. So I'll keep going. So Issa is texting Condola and Condola's dodging her. And at this point, Do you think Issa should have been able to put it together that Condola was dodging her or was is this part of the problem with Issa, is that sometimes she don't read cues?
I mean, that's a great question. I feel like Issa should have been able to pick up a little bit. Like, yo, you've been calling her, you've left messages. If you've called and left messages and someone ain't get back to you, you got to read that. Read it as is.
Right. So she should have been able to say, oh, okay. I can tell that me and Condola have not been talking. We are not on the same page. But instead, she called her and then she texted her. Is that common practice? Should I be doing that?
She wasn't doing it as a crazy girlfriend. She was doing it because they were planning a huge event and she was like, this is coming up fast and you're not replying. So it's different if you're calling because like you're stalking them, which I know someone on this call that probably does that.
Oh my God.
But it's different if like you're in a relationship to produce a big event and all of a sudden one person goes radio silence. I'd be a little freaked out. And really, I feel like Issa has the right to be freaked out that they're dating, so I wouldn't put two and two together that she's freaked out about it. I'd be like, that's my place.
I think you're right. You're right. She should have been calling her. And I think Condola was wrong messaging her and being like, hey.
I think also, too, though, like, Issa has become a little self-absorbed in this process.
I can't hear you.
Just a little bit.
I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
I said I think Issa has become a little self-absorbed in this process, just a little bit, because, like, even I'm not really a fan of Molly, but I get it, because she's so involved in the process of this event that she's completely ignoring everything else that's going on and the cues that are being sent to her. Like, she's not getting anything because she's so... Her focus is just on this event and nothing else that's around it. Like, she's not, like I always tell my kids, be aware of your surroundings. And okay. She's not aware.
We go to Molly at work and she's at work with the girls and Bennett comes in and, you know, he's like, I go by BJ now. And you're just like, calm down. And they kind of make a joke about interns and, young practicing lawyers. And I don't know. I just feel like Molly at that point, it ends up being that Molly well, first of all, that firecracker shrimp looked delicious. And I've never had firecracker shrimp, but I think I would enjoy it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I could see us eating that at Boba's house for sure. You know,
I don't make no cracker shrimp.
And firecracker shrimp.
Firecracker shrimp.
It looks delicious. It looks good. No,
that
was
a bad slip.
I heard it.
I don't know if we could order it. We could definitely order that.
Okay, we'll put on the list of things to order. So then Molly is, they're asking, oh, can somebody stay? And Molly's like, I'll do it. Instead of being like, here's the opportunity to have some boundaries. Molly could have been like, yeah, you know what? I did make plans with Andrew. Let me go be with him. But instead she was like, oh, my man gets it. I just don't understand that. Like, clearly you're not making time for him.
Clearly.
Yes. Yeah. So this is one of the most pivotal moments in the series, I think. It's the parking spot.
Okay.
Yes.
Why was it pivotal?
I think the parking spot is a pivotal moment because it is.
It was a foreshadowing of the fight.
It's a foreshadowing. It's like, and it's right there. Who's gonna give? Which friend is gonna give? Which friend is gonna be the friend that lets the other friend have what they want? Which friend is gonna be the one that takes it too seriously?
The bigger person.
Yeah. So
who's
going to
be the bigger person?
Issa pulls in front of the parking spot to parallel park in. And Molly is coming
from
the other direction. And she was going into the spot nose first. Whose parking spot was it?
Her name is the game.
Issa.
Hold up. And then after Issa left, Molly pulled forward and backed in. So her intention was never to pull in front in. It was just to stop Issa. Because when Issa left,
ooh,
she pulled past
that's
the
crowd 100%
and backed
right.
down.
She did pull
I was
up.
Like,
she was
yep.
trying to
blocked
block her
on purpose.
Yep.
That's some that, whole stuff.
That is
good
a
observation.
Good. Yes, Vova.
She was blocking.
Yep.
Block.
So it that is more foreshadowing for what happens because she's blocking her from getting things.
Mm-hmm.
She's physically stopping her. Like, I want this. You can do something different. I want this. Huh. Right. Vova.
Not only, yeah. I'm going to block you from doing it the wrong way, but I'm still going to take it. Like, I wasn't even backing in. I was trying to forward in, but I realized I couldn't do that, so I backed in like you were going to do.
Or,
like, that was,
you know what? Let me go a little deeper. She wants to be her, so she does exactly what she would have done.
What'd you say? I can't hear you. What'd you say?
I said she want to be like her, so she'll do exactly what she did.
She want to be like who?
Molly.
Oh.
Molly want to be like Issa.
You were
about to pull in, and then you saw me pull out and back up into a spot. And you're like, no, let me block you. That's number one. So then when you leave, you're like, okay, let me do what she was going to do so that I can get what I want from what she was going to get.
Ooh.
Mm.
Y'all digging deep into that parking situation. Because, it was. I like
that. That's what it was.
Yeah. So it was Issa's spot, and Molly took it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Facts.
Yeah,
facts.
That's how I feel.
Because Issa was there first. She was.
And she was clearly about to get into the spot. At Miami University, the college that I attended, if you had your blinker on, that's my spot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even care if I'm...
That's universal across the United States.
Oh, my
if
bad.
If you're waiting for a parking space and you got your blinker on, let somebody come in there and swoop in, your whole vehicle gonna be keyed up. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
Or I'm just gonna back into you. And you better hope you pull back. Because it's gonna be something from my back bumper onto your front, okay?
Yeah.
And so then they have Molly and Issa are on the porch and they have like a little talk about Sundays. Like they're like, hey, you left your mat at my place. Oh, my bad. Yeah. So we're gonna have so Sundays isn't working right now, and they're kind of like, yeah, it's not really working. So they go inside and we get to meet Simone. Simone yeah. is the new baby.
yes, that was so cute. I love the like Derek, this whole like episode. I love Derek. Actually, these next episodes, I love Derek, but Derek was just everything.
Yes. Yeah, the interaction between Derek and Lawrence and the baby, it is so natural, and it seems so, like, it was very refreshing. Because sometimes you get in situations where the guys are kind of being, like, not into the baby, not talking about the baby, not near the baby. But he was, like, right there. He was right there on top of the baby's bed, you know, checking the baby's poo. You know, very active dad. So then we get into Tiffany. Tiffany, and she's telling us that it's a lie. She says it's a lie. Childbirth is a lie. And they get into this whole discussion about childbirth. And we have two experts on the phone with us about pregnancy and childbirth. Well, you're an expert at being pregnant. Why are you drinking coffee? Okay, let's not talk about it. I just saw her take a sip. And then we have a new mom on the phone while she's holding her tiny baby, and I can see his little baby feet, and they're so little. Oh my gosh. So does Tiffany have it right? Is pregnancy horrible and like a mess?
It can be. It definitely can be, but it's all worth it. I mean, and at the end of the day, it's like I did it 3 times, so apparently it's not too bad.
Right. And it all depends who you're talking to and the day you're talking to them on.
And your experience, everybody's experience is different in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Like my first two, I had no problem, cool breeze. Then my last one, he's the one who gave, I had to pay a price at the end with postpartum preeclampsia, high blood pressure, but you know, blood pressure pills. Never had an issue with blood pressure in my entire life. Now I'm on blood pressure pills. You know, it. You know, my other two, I didn't have any problems. I didn't have to do this. But and it may be because I'm 80 years old having a child. So it all depends on the person. Everybody's experience is different. I know people who have had one child and that's all they want because it was such a rough pregnancy.
Yeah.
Well, and I can say this morning, Aaronette couldn't even make a fist. Aaronette couldn't even make a fist this morning. You know.
Too much salt.
No, she got.
No, I got pregnancy carpal tunnel.
Oh, dang.
I didn't even know that was a thing. She has.
I didn't know. I didn't know postpartum preeclampsia was a thing.
Oh my gosh.
I did not know that was a thing. Like until I had it. And I had to go back into the hospital only after 5 days of being out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Antepartum. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's different, I say. But, you know, would I trade the experience for a world? No, because I learned some things, and I have a beautiful baby right now. So, and I'm still alive, so.
That's what counts.
That's what
counts. I'm going to come tickle that little baby's feet.
Yeah, those feet cute. Oh, my gosh.
Tickle.
I'll nibble on them. So they kind of talk about the same things. They kind of say, like, sometimes doctors don't listen to the to certain women, especially women of color, when they have their pregnancy. You know, they were talking about how they almost killed Serena.
Yeah.
And I think that's in medicine overall sometimes. I feel like African-American women don't get listened to about their issues. You know,
that's true. 100% true.
Yes, we did the...
I've experienced that myself.
Wizard mm-hmm. of Oz this past summer, and me and Bova, we wore this lion costume that had to rest on our breastbone. And I ended up getting, I think, a strain or a muscle pull, but it was to the point where I thought I was having like a heart attack. I was having really bad heart pain. And one day everybody told me, well, if you go to the doctor, they're going to give you some medication. They were like, oh, if you go to the doctor, they're going to give you some muscle relaxers to stop the pain. I get to the doctor and they're like, well, if you take a Tagamet, you'll probably be okay. Maybe take some Tums. I'm like, wait, they didn't offer me no. They didn't offer me Tylenol.
You're like, that's for antacid. It literally, the thing cracked her rib. And they're like, take a Tagamet. It's fine.
Yeah. It was brutal. Because wow. they really just felt like I wasn't reliable.
Yeah.
And that happened to me, too. Like, it went in 2017. I almost died because they wouldn't listen to me. And I had ectopic pregnancy that erupted.
And wow.
Prior to the eruption, I kept calling and kept telling them something's wrong. Now, mind you, I've had two children prior to this, so I know my body at this point, and I know what it does when I'm pregnant.
Right.
And so the fact that they didn't listen to me almost cost me my life. Like I almost passed out. Like they had to revive me twice in surgery. Had to get 4 blood transfusions because I lost so much blood. And that all could have been prevented had they listened to me. Mm. And even in the ER, they weren't listening to me. Mm-hmm. This was the first time I had actually experienced racism at its finest. Because they initially thought that the lady asked me, was I on drugs? And asked me, was I drinking?
Ooh.
While I'm passing in and out of consciousness, losing blood, internal bleeding at the same time. And she unplugged and plugged up the heart monitor and blood pressure monitor because my blood pressure was so deathly low. She thought something was wrong with the machine instead of figuring out what was wrong with me.
Wow.
So it's a real thing. It's real. Yeah. It's so sad, but it's because I have some of the best insurance. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It means nothing.
Right.
And it's just sad. It's just sad. And it's real. It's real.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, and that's what makes me nervous. So
no, you're going to be okay.
Talking, but when she started talking about that, because I did watch that Serena special, and where she had, like, I think she had an aneurysm or something like that, and they were not listening to her. And her husband was like, y'all need to get her, she had to do a CAT scan or a CT scan or something like that. And then they found it. And, but yeah.
You have to be your own advocate. Don't be scared. Just be your advocate. Demand to be taken care of, period. Don't take no for an answer. You know your body better than anybody else. And so does your husband. So to have him there would be pivotal in the pregnancy, time of your birthing, and just let him be an advocate for you when you can't be an advocate for yourself, and be an advocate for yourself when you can. And if have a honest to God concern, speak on it and don't let them tell you no. Oh. And it's just that simple. Don't let them tell you no, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Okay. Definitely. Because after my knee surgery, I was having issues. And I remember we didn't really do a whole bunch of pain pills and things like that growing up in our house. Like, that was just something that we did not do. But after my knee surgery, I was having this migraine. I was like, I don't know what this is, but my head, I was like, I can't. It wasn't like a headache. We had to keep like the blinds closed. We couldn't watch TV with the sound on. It's like, the sound, and even just seeing the images on the TV move, I was like, my eyes, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and the nurse came in and she was like, oh, you might just be nervous because it's college is coming up. I was like, why would I fake like I can't read because college is coming? Mm-hmm. And I remember the doctor came in and was like, nope, I need you to go upstairs and see the eye doctor. Eye doctor was like, cool, something's going on. I'm going to send you across for a CT and an MRI today. And I was like, right now? They were like, yeah. And it was just a long day. But it was like, it was a lot of stuff. But I just didn't like the feeling of not being heard when I said that I was having migraines. Like, that was no joke.
Yeah, so the doctor's sitting there saying, oh, you don't want to go to college, so you're pretending you can't read. That's a mess. That's absolutely a mess. And that's experiences that people go to. So, and that was the point of them putting this part in the episode, because they I watched the wind down and they said they wanted people to have these candid discussions about people of color and the health field, sometimes either not responding correctly to their issues or just being aware so that it won't happen to you. So, I hope that people out there get opportunity to have this same discussion.
Yeah.
So at this point, Issa and Kelly have a talk, and Issa's kind of questioning what's going on with her and Molly's relationship. And then Kelly kind of tells her, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And then we see Issa go outside and talk to Lawrence, and Molly blows off Andrew again. And then Molly and Tiffany have the talk. And the whole time they're talking, Molly's looking outside, kind of judging Issa, kind of saying, oh, I see you outside, Issa, you know, calling me old Molly and look at you doing the same things. And this is another time where I think that people are not finishing conversations.
Oh, so, finishing. They never started.
So Lawrence and Issa are outside and they're kind of having this back and forth banter. And then all of a sudden, Lawrence is like, hey, can I talk to you about something? She gets on the phone and says, can I take this? Then she gets off the phone and says, I'll talk to you later. But within that amount of time, we see once again that Issa isn't having these conversations with people. And I'm not faulting her, but I think that this is part of the pattern that leads to her and Molly's issues. Go. I'm ready.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one. Disagree with you about the Lawrence and Issa situation.
Tell me what's up.
I honestly believe that Lawrence, in that moment, he wanted to tell her that that him and Condola are no longer together. That's my, that was my inclination as soon as I saw that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they couldn't finish that conversation because she had a crisis on her hand. Her headliner mm-hmm. dropped out. It's like, I would love to talk to you right now, but you know what? Let me try to catch you at another time because I got to deal with this. Now, with her and Molly, they talked about having this conversation about where their friendship is going or how they can mend it, but they never actually had the conversation right. whatsoever. So I fought both of them because they could have took when they were out there talking about Soul Sundays or whatever they call it, they could have mm-hmm. had that conversation before they went into Tiffany's. But no, they talked about whether or not if you know they were gonna change it or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, I don't, as far as that goes.
So there's times that they could have had the talk and they just keep putting it off.
Yeah.
They really do keep putting off this discussion. Yes. And as they're walking away and Issa's walking into the kitchen, this is a line that kind of sticks out where they was playing with the baby and then Kelly says, "Don't what'd she say? She said, "Don't rile her up. I only like
only
her
when like her when she chill." But I love her all the time. Oh.
Yes.
Hilarious.
They're giving you clues. So Tiffany's struggling with this baby. She's struggling more than she's letting on, and I definitely think that that's gonna end up being something in the near future. But Issa kind of walked in as they were like shh, 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 and I think she kind of was like, "What are you guys talking about me?" And at that point, she goes home. And she has a talk with Mayor Issa. So it's Issa versus the mayor. And at this point, I had an idea. Do you think that this could possibly be? She says to the mayor, the mayor Issa says, it's a lot of stuff going on the other side of the mayor. And then Issa says, like what? And she's like, you know, are we on the other side of the mayor right now? And actually, the real timeline is the other Issa in the mirror.
All right, you on some? What is right. this? You on some us type stuff right now?
Think about it. She keeps talking to the mirror Issa, and the mirror Issa is like, "It's not good over here either." So maybe we are on the other side of the mirror for this whole season, and now starting on episode 6. We're going to go back to the other side of the mirror.
Kelvin, this is called Insecure, not Black Mirror.
But I think there's something there.
You think so? I don't know. I didn't read that much into it, to be honest.
The mirror has been in every episode, and I think that the mirror change switch happened at the end of last season, and all of this is not real.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's like
this block party didn't happen. Issa's still a mess. Nothing is good. So I think starting on episode 6, the second half of the season is what really happened.
Oh.
Kelly and the baby.
Yeah, that's some Black Mirror type stuff right there, yo.
Okay. Okay. I'm for it. Maybe the baby is mean, or no, maybe the baby nice. Maybe the baby was a boy. I don't know. The other side of the mirror. That's where we're going.
The other side of the mirror.
Condola still in the season.
Season 4.
Yeah. Yes. Lawrence and Condola stay together. Lawrence get Condola knocked up. Like it's a whole bunch.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, Daniel ends up being the headliner because his career pop off. It's a whole bunch. Stay with me. Issa's on the phone trying to get a headliner, and then we hear Lynette's favorite line of the series, where she was talking to her friend on the phone, and she was like, she said, "Oh, God is good.
You're my best friend. You always come through. You're my best friend, something.
She was singing the song, you're my best friend, I love you forever.
Y'all safe now? Oh, yeah, God is good.
So, well, I guess we're at the part where she's at the taco stand, and she asks Andrew, I mean, she asks Molly to ask Andrew for the favor. And the favor ends up being, can you ask your headliner to be in the show? You know, she's like, hey, can you be in the show? And at this point,
okay, so sidebar to that.
Oh, yes.
Did you notice how Molly went straight in to try to talk to her about her problems?
Right, right.
And Issa was like, yeah, but can you help me with this, though?
Yep.
Molly was pissed about that. And that's why she was just like, almost brushed it off and got off the phone real quick. Because she ignored what she needed at the time.
So who was being selfish?
Both of them were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, it wasn't necessarily, Molly just kind of jumped right in, assuming that's what Issa was calling about. And then Issa just kind of assumed that she could ask something like that after y'all haven't talked in who knows how long at this point. It's like, didn't y'all just come from the party? And Molly took offense to a comment that Issa made. It's like, didn't y'all just have a weird moment? And y'all, this is all weird.
And then y'all just discovered that y'all had a relationship that was off in the store. So why do you think, like, you guys are in a position now or in that place where something like that could be asked of you? It's just weird.
Yeah, it definitely is weird. And it makes when she asked Molly for the favor, because I thought Nathan was going to be there at the hot dog stand. But I think that was kind of the what we needed to think about was Nathan, because Nathan is Andrew's friend also. I like how they play that game. Sierra's good about that. Like they put things in front of you that you know you'll need to like connect the dots with later. You're like, oh yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm.
Like put that in your back pocket for next.
Yes. Save that because in a few minutes something else is coming. So at this point, Molly and Andrew are talking, and she talks about the fact that she's never been in a relationship long enough to have to balance it in her life. And I think we see that. I think we can see that she's definitely in a place where she has to figure out, how do I make my relationship work and how do I be with this guy, you know, with this guy and have my job and have my friendships? Because what we're seeing is that nobody has it all. Nobody has the friendships, the job, and the relationship at the same time. It seems like that's the triangle. You got to pick two. And we know that's not true, you know, but that's what is the balance that these girls are trying to strike at this point. Yeah. Even Lawrence, you know, pick two. You can have a friendship and a job. You can have a girlfriend and a job. You can have a girlfriend and the friendships. But does anybody get to have all three? And maybe that's why this show works. You know, you constantly have the characters, you know, only picking two.
Right.
That's interesting.
That's good.
Yeah. So they talk about Molly calls Issa and she's like, hey, girl, we had some boundaries in this relationship. I'm not going to ask Andrew about helping you out. And at that point.
And I respect that.
You respected that?
I respected that. Only because, like, it just makes for an awkward moment for them if they're trying to work some issues out. And then you ask, oh, hey, by the way, can you do this for my friend?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes for an awkward situation in their relationship. So I get that part. But I don't know. I guess maybe the presentation was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe if she would have went into depth with why, I think Issa wouldn't have felt so, like, off about it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely was like, she was like, what? You know, you could tell she had, like, some feelings about what happened.
Because she didn't even want to talk to her no more. Which makes it seem like you're a user now. Because you don't even want to talk to me anymore because I told you no.
Well, it was also looking at both sides. It's like, you see Molly and Andrew. Molly being very adult with Andrew, where she's having these real conversations with him, telling him how she really feels about things. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to Issa, you're being real short. It's like, you've known Issa for how long? And you ain't talking about her. And it's and I'm like, that's the part that gets me about Molly. I'm like, Molly, girl, you've known her for 10 plus years. It's like, I know that also it's kind of that pivotal point where if you've known someone for how long and you're trying to change and be better the way that Molly is, and Issa's not seeing her as different and vice versa. Issa's not seeing Molly as different. Molly's not seeing Issa as changed because they used to be such petty people and used to be such messy people. And it's like, so when do you get a chance to change is the real question. If you're trying to change and you've known people for a long time. And I think that Molly finds Andrew easy to change with.
And I think also, too, like I said before, the communication key is key. Like, have that conversation. Like, if you're, you have to be open and transparent, especially with your best friend, who should be with you through all of your life processes, even if there is a change. But how do they know if they're not communicating with each other? They keep tapping around the issues instead of just really diving in. She's giving that energy to Andrew, but you're not giving it to, like you said, to Issa. And I think a lot of their issues align with that because neither one of them are actually really delving in and having that real conversation with each other so that they can understand each other's side and then be open to it at the same time. Because you can have the conversation. If you're not open to it, then you're not going to get it, and you're not, and you're going to be disgruntled or whatever emotion comes with it because you're not open to the idea of something different. What your norm is. So they need to really have that heart to heart conversation, and because of that, you know, other things happen.
True. Yeah. So this episode ends with Issa, you know, not even wanting to have a conversation with Mayor Issa, and it ends with her realizing
I just want to take a shower.
Yeah.
And no water.
But which brings us back to the fact that sometimes Issa is messy, and that was a responsibility that she did not adhere to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Her responsibility was to make that happen, and she didn't do it. So you get that. And then
it goes back to my point before when I was saying she's being very self-absorbed when it comes to
this block event.
Everything has something to do with the event, and she's negating her regular responsibilities as Issa.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, that's a good point. Like, what happens after this is over? Like, she didn't have another event on the table. She didn't have any more plans. She didn't, like, leverage this to a job. You know, she just did the block party. She became tunnel focused on one thing. That's a really good point. So we're about to go into the next episode, which is low key what? T-Dot, what's the next one called? Let me see.
I forgot.
Low key moving on.
Low
key moving on. Okay. So, first thing that happened on this one is they let us see a preview for the next show that I think we should do called I May Destroy You. I want to do I think we should do our next series on that. What y'all think? Y'all didn't like it with the girl from Chewing Gum?
Which one are you talking about?
Before the episode came on, the girl from I Will Destroy, the girl from that new show called I May Destroy You, where she fell and hit her head. It's a new show coming on HBO.
Did she have the pink wig on?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were talking about a show that happened on the show. I was like, I missed that part.
I think we should do that show. What you think?
I missed the preview, so I would have to go.
I think it would be good. What's her name? Michelle Cohen?
Yes, because she was singing a song. She was like, where is my shot glass? I can say, shot. Where is my shot glass? I was like, yes. That was a good song.
I definitely think we should do that. Yeah, because I think it tiptoes on the line of what is consent, and I think it explores mental health as well.
That's what that's about. I thought it was about a girl partying real hard, having a good time.
Yes, she. So I think the little piece of backstory that I saw in one of the articles was something about consent was part of the headline, and definitions of consent where consent boundaries are very fuzzy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we definitely got to watch that. That's gonna be our. That's gonna be a hit. Okay. So the episode starts off with Issa in the kitchen wearing her Waiting to Exhale t-shirt. Well, no, she was in the bed first, and she was texting. I saw it too. I was like, that's a great t-shirt. She was texting with.
It's appropriate because she was able to exhale because it was the day of the event.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Breathe into it. Okay.
She was texting with Nate the barber, and I just want to say, barbers are hot. Lynette got her a barber. Well, he got multiple jobs. He got high,
He was a barber first.
I've been trying to get with this one dude that's a barber. He live on my street, and he mad fine. But one night I bought him Chipotle and he didn't pay me back for it. But it's okay. It's okay. So
lesson learned. Don't lesson buy no man. Learned.
Yeah. Don't buy nobody nothing. I bought him a Chipotle. He didn't buy me nothing. I felt devastated. I was like, whatever. So, yeah, so Nate the barber, he was up, so he said, hey, you want to talk? And she called him, and, you know, he was like, hey, are you okay? And then he was like, hey, what's up with you and Molly? He said, y'all okay? And Issa says, and I don't think back. So.
And that's how the show started.
I love that moment.
Me too.
I love that moment. I was waiting
for those, that moment and wherever it was going to happen to collide.
And it made me feel so happy. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there, it just clicked. It was like, oh, it was like, now I know. Now I know.
Right. Now I know why. Yeah.
It also felt weird because I was like, you told him?
Ooh. Right.
Oh, okay.
The best friend of her boyfriend?
Ooh.
The dude that ghosted you?
Oh.
Huh. Yeah. It's like, y'all, it shows Molly and Issa have like some very weird relationship boundaries when it comes to dudes. And it's like, y'all will tell these dudes everything. And y'all still ain't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Put your heart on his sleeve for a dude, but you won't talk to your friend.
Yep.
Just weird.
Yes. So, so it kind of boiled down to, where she says the line that starts the episode, she says, honestly, I don't think I F with Molly no more. You know? Mm-hmm. And at that point, you get to see everything kind of come together. You get to see all the pieces come together. And intern King, I wrote her name down because I can't remember it. Koya, intern Koya.
She's the best.
So, yeah, she is the best. So they're at the day of the event, and Koya's there. They're setting things up. They're moving pieces around, and the girl that starts getting up there, she started doing some spoken words. She was like, "The blood on my hands, the blood in my heart," and I thought to myself, Tiff wouldn't know that girl, like in LA.
That's funny. I feel like I've been to this open mic before.
I was like, Tiff knows that girl that was doing that spoken word.
Yeah.
So,
but we did jump one moment. It was a very small moment, but I loved it.
What was it?
Was Molly and Andrew, where Molly couldn't figure out what to wear. And Andrew was like, he just tells her straight up. He's like, you know you're going to go. It's like, so just get that one on and let's go. He was just very like, don't act like you're not going to support her. Or, you know, he said something along those lines because she was acting like she wasn't going to go. You know how people be like, well, I ain't going to go. And he's like, okay, you're going to go, though.
Yes. And you know what else is crazy? He said, you know, well, whatever, I'm not going to go. Or she says that. And then he says, all right, well, let's not go. And she was like, you know, I'm going to go. You know, because she full well knew she was going. But this is my question about Andrew and Molly at this point. I don't see a lot of sparks. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're not falling in love. What do you think?
I think that he is just being very tolerable of her in her, what she's dealing with. I think he is a good person to be dealing with, like, all her drama, because I also think, I don't know, he's good for her in this transitional moment. Will it last after this? Who knows? But in this moment, he is the person who has his head on straight. He has crystal clear vision, and he's giving her some great guidance. It's like the things, the parts where she messed up was where she decided to start making decisions and not talk to him.
I just don't see a lot of passion there. And I know, I mean, I feel
he
like they're
level-headed.
I feel like they're a couple, but I don't see like, but even towards him, like the, you know, not sexual touch, but just like good touch, hand holding, back rub, snuggle. Like, I don't see healthy, they're actually absolutely healthy, but like, I don't see sparks. Like, I'm not seeing it, but that doesn't mean they're not there. You know, I think that he's keeping her level headed and kind of checking her when she's doing the most. But
he's definitely keeping her level headed.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's definitely what she needs.
Yeah, she does. You know? She needs it.
Yeah.
None of her other relationships have been that way.
None. Not even close. Not even her relationship with Issa.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's, I mean, they don't really have checks and balances, you know.
They
did when they tried to use Malibu. Malibu, you know, I'm telling you the truth right now. But even that was short lived, you know.
Mm.
Malibu's they messing up. So
dang, my bad. We were at the block party right after the poet did her song.
Oh yeah, Condola shows up. You know, and this was an interesting just interaction, because Condola was apologetic and she seemed sad, but she also, I saw jealousy in her eyes. She was jealous.
But you know what? I just felt sorry for Issa in that moment, because she really didn't know.
She didn't.
You really saw that she was completely clueless as to what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's become a victim of a situation she didn't know she was even involved in.
Yeah.
Because she never got a chance to talk to Lawrence about it.
Mm-hmm.
She never got a chance. And it's like, now the girl has these feelings about her, and she don't even know why. Like, she's not on Lawrence like that.
Right.
Yeah, they have a dynamic. That's because they've been together for years. That doesn't mean that there's feelings there. It's just an old dynamic.
Right.
And you're jealous of an old dynamic.
Mm.
But even in conversation, when they were at that party and the friends were talking about marriage and stuff, and she made it very clear that she didn't want to get married. Right there, you two ain't equally yoked, because dude wants to get married. The way Lawrence was looking, and she was talking about not having any kids, not wanting to get married, and he was looking like, excuse me, like, that's
all
not
your
what
fault.
I want.
All
I
your
think
fault.
That was the beginning of the end for them, because they weren't on the same page. He's a family guy. He wants a family.
Mm.
And that was very obvious when last season, when Issa had that little vision with them having the child, having the whole house with the picket fence and stuff like that. I don't think that was just her vision. I think that was his too.
Ooh,
I never thought of that. Okay. Well, and I don't know if he's gonna come back. I don't know where he's at, because I kept thinking that he was gonna appear at this block party.
Me too. Why didn't he come?
He didn't come.
He did not come.
Both his exes were there.
Mm.
I guess. Yeah. But she wasn't even there that long.
Yeah.
The new witch. She came with those tired black and white boots on again in the middle of summer.
It was
January for them, so that is winter for them, but it's still hot. But they were tired. She should have got rid of those shoes.
Okay.
But
anyway.
Get
rid of those shoes.
With those boots made for walking shoes.
Those boots were made for walking.
And she bowed after she said what she had to say. And he was just like, okay, now you're upset with me, and I don't know why. Now she got Molly upset with her. She don't know really not why, because they never discussed anything. Mm-hmm. Now she got this girl upset with her. She don't know why, because she ain't never discussed anything with her either.
Yep.
So it's just
yeah.
like, dang, Issa is just losing her. She's on the losing streak and don't even realize it.
Real life.
So the next part is happy, sexy jail pose. And I want all of the Insecuties. That's the name of, that's our name, Insecuties. We everybody gotta send me 3 pictures. Happy, sexy jail pose. So I wanna see your pictures. All right, make sure you send me those. So Molly, not Molly wasn't there yet. Issa, Tiffany, and Kelly were taking pictures on the Sip and See. Is that what that's called? No, the
Step and Repeat.
Step and Repeat. They were taking pictures on the Step and Repeat. And this man screamed, oh, this boy screamed, old. And Derek lost his mind. Derek lost his ever loving mind. He was like, shut the and he was like, I'm sorry, I'm tired. Stay in school. Stay in school. He was like, hey,
the best.
So then Kelly kind of talks to Issa and she's like, you know, I didn't know what was going on when you wanted to do this. And this is real nice. She was like, she wants to do what? Why? Where? With who? Why? You know, she was asking all the questions. The event turned out to be insane. It was insane, but I'm still kind of like, how does she do that? But I mean, like we said, she had to focus. She had to tunnel vision it up. And, you know, and I think the other thing is she did have some support. So
she had Condola.
She had Condola. Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah. So Kelly's boo, Darnell, shows up. And suddenly we find out that Kelly is pretending to be British, which I absolutely love. You know, because I love being British myself. So I like to slip in and out of me British conversation every once in a while. You know.
When I tell you that mess was hilarious. And the dude was completely oblivious to it all and was like all for it.
Yes.
And he was about as dumb as a box of rocks.
He was so dumb. People love a black chick with a British accent. They live for us. They live for it. Whenever I go into my British accent, people just stare at me and they just want to know everything about me. So it makes sense. It really does.
She's like, oh, what do you call this? A taco? A taco?
Oh, you eat it with your hands? Oh, really?
And so then Issa gets to be on the press junket. And this was funny because the lady was talking about her YouTube channel. She was like, haven't started it yet. I was done. I was like, by the YouTube channel? You know, but that's how I feel about this podcast. I'm like, people are like, is this ever going to get started? And y'all, this is the episode 10. This is the Meanwhile Podcast 10th episode. So this is a big deal. Okay? Yes. So it's happening. So does anyone else? Go ahead.
Porter, I just didn't like her comment. Like, one of her comments just seemed a little bit, like, backhandedy. Because she, like, you know, Issa was making the comment about, like, this is for, like, the culture. This is for us. And then in the background, it was a whole bunch of just Caucasian people and everybody but black people. And it was just one of those things that was also very, like, relevant. Inglewood is getting gentrified heavy. It's like they are buying up all these old shops and flipping them and turning them into these nice gentrified looking little areas that look kind of like where they said Bennett lived. He lived in Silver Lake. Ooh, it's like, yeah, Silver Lake is very like gentrified and very like they're all like little not mom and pop shops, but trendy places.
Like so a skateboard shop that also sells burritos. Tacos on a roll, taco rolls, and then they also sell Asian food on a roll, like egg roll.
Boom.
It's a very popular restaurant. Yeah. So Molly finally shows up, and we're getting an opportunity to see Kelly, Amal, and Kelly's date have a conversation, And I almost died when she was like, he says, so where you live? And she was like, oh, I live in Poppycock. It's a biscuits toss and a fanny away from Benny Hill. I said, wait, where? Poppycock? It's a biscuits toss and a fanny away. I said, that ain't such a thing. That's not real. Ain't nobody living no biscuits toss. And a fanny means your booty. So I was like, I was dying on that. I hate the fact that he was so dumb that she had to pretend like he wasn't. It was like, oh my gosh. Seriously. Because he was like, the branch of government is two branches of government. It's the president and then it's the bank branch.
When he was like, that killed me. That I died a little inside.
He said, it's the presidential branch and it's the Bank of America. Because, you know, it's America and it's a lot of banks.
It's like they make the money. And I mean, I've been in a situation like that where you just meet a guy and you're like, you know what? I'm going to have to just pretend like he's not dumb, because if I allow myself to realize that he is dumb, then I probably shouldn't be talking to him. And you got to play along. He's like, yeah, the branch of government. And then Chase Bank is trying to keep up. So they called himself Chase. That's why they.
Oh, no.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. So he was real dumb. Wow. So at this Molly. So Tiffany had to go. Derek went home because the baby kept crying. The baby kept crying. And so Derek goes home with the baby. And this is the point for me where I watched and I said, something's off with Tiffany.
Something's off.
Something's
postpartum
off.
Postpartum depression.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Because she's trying to get away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. She was also kind of manic a little bit. Like, I'm having fun. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
she
Kelly.
Was
Yeah.
I'm so Zach.
Yes. So Nathan appears and they start talking about Vince. Like, when's Vince gonna get there? And I don't know Vince's song, but the song that he sang on the show was good. Mm-hmm. So their whole focus
never
was
never heard of him.
Never heard of Vince Staples. He was cute. Yeah.
Nope.
He was a cutie pie. He's from LA.
The guy that played his manager. I don't know if he was playing his manager or what. He's a guy from Fat Albert.
Really? I did not know that.
The movie Fat Albert. The movie.
Okay. Okay. Mm. So Issa and Molly talk, and once again they don't get anything. Nothing is said. You know, she's like, "Hey, you want a chicken wing?" You know, nothing is really said. And it was cordial, but you know, they didn't really go into anything. And they go in and we get to see Thug Yoda, he's there, and then they go outside and then they're dancing to The Wobble. So at this point, The Wobble is one of those scenes in a movie where everybody is like having fun, and I thought that things had taken a turn. Because Issa and Molly like went up to each other and they high-fived and they were joking around. And it seemed like things were better.
Yeah. It's like there was also that moment with Molly and Andrew where he was just like, this event looked nice. They were sitting on that couch, like by that little tree bush, looking well-trimmed bush, you know, at the event. And he was like, you know, it takes a lot to like make this kind of event happen. And, you know, Molly's just kind of agreeing along. And he's like, yeah, so, you know, you see why it would be tough to like do something like this by yourself. Kind of reasoning her down. Like, because Molly was sitting there with a full blown attitude. And he's like, yo, he's like, your friend put on this event and look how dope it is. And Molly, of course, because of a guy making her realize that her friend was actually doing a lot of work, reasoned. And like was understanding, and it's like, and that event was huge. It was a huge hit. You know, they did the little wobble and then they high fived. I was like, oh no, y'all ain't gonna end on
and
no
that's
high five.
Irritating.
Well, I thought they were
irritating.
You said what was irritating?
That's irritating. That it always has to be him to try to give her some common sense of stuff, you know. And that's just a reflection of how us as Black women don't support each other all the way.
Yeah, I thought that they were, I didn't think they were fixed, but I thought they both kind of looked in each other's eyes across the dance floor and they were like, we're going to work this out. We're going to work through this.
Right,
and
yeah.
They just laughed, mm-hmm. and they was like, high five, girl, you know. So I don't know. I've just thought, I thought things were better, you know. I don't know. So finally, they say Issa to the stage, and Issa goes to the stage, and then we hear Vince Staples sing his song, We Just Want to Have Fun, you know. And the crowd's going crazy. This is an amazing event. Everything is flawless. There was no, everybody was scared it was going to rain. It didn't rain. It was just beautiful. And Vince comes up and he thanks Andrew. Vince's manager comes up, Fat Albert, comes up and thanks Andrew. And he says, hey, thank you for this opportunity. And Molly at this point says, what did you do? And he said, well, I got the headliner for Issa. You know, he says, Nathan called me and asked me, and I just sent an email. It was nothing, you know. And at that point, Molly was inconsolable. She didn't want a reason. She didn't want to talk about it. She just wanted to be mad. And she goes over to Issa, who's finishing up with Koya and, you know, kind of closing the event out. And all of a sudden she said, you know, why you get my man to do you a favor? You know, and here, this is the moment that everything goes south.
Mm.
So, first of all, I think Molly did not have wrong place. You know, sometimes it'd be the wrong place. You didn't have to say that right then. You could have talked to her about that the next day. You could have talked to her about it a month later. You know, that was the wrong place to bring
that
up.
Issa said that. She was like, why now? Why do you have to bring this up right now? You just cannot let me have my moment.
Can't. Like that.
Just like the parking spot.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't let me have something.
You can't. Like that hurt. I was like, dang. It's like you couldn't have saved this for even an hour later. It's like all these people are still here. All these people are buying up stuff at the vendors. Like this is a success.
Mm-hmm. Almost as if she was waiting on a moment to be to destroy her.
So she was wanting that moment. She was like waiting on it.
It was brewing.
It definitely was brewing. She was cooking that in her hate box. She was cooking that moment in her hate box. She was ready to slam it down.
Because, I mean, think of it. Like, looking back, anytime she was having meetings with the girl about the event, she was looking sideways because she wasn't a part of it. And then when she had the pre-one with all the vendors to try to get sponsors, she was looking sideways because she wasn't a part of it. So now it's here. It's successful. It worked out great. Let me find a flaw that's connected to me so that I can go off on you about an event that you were successful in so that I can feel better for the fact that I did not help you.
That's why I didn't help you, because I knew this wasn't going to be successful. Like, see, this is why I didn't want to help you, because you messy. See, look, you know, she wanted to prove herself right. That's deep, you know. And she said, she was talking about rule setting and boundaries, and she was like, you always want a little favor from people, Issa, you know. And then Tiffany burst in and was like, you guys, everything's going to be okay. Once again, I was like, that's a weird moment for her to say that. It just, everything was blowing up. And then Molly says, you know, you always focusing on my, Issa's like, you always focusing on my problems. And then Molly says, Issa uses people. And then Issa says, Molly is miserable. And then Molly says, Issa's a liar. And then Molly says, Issa's selfish, you know. And I'm just trying to figure out, are any of these statements true? Are all of these statements true? Like, which one, what's going on here? Like, I feel like Molly is focusing on Issa's problems, but I don't feel like to the point where this was the outcome, you know. And I definitely don't think that Issa uses people. What do you think? Do you think Issa's a user?
I mean, I think she's needed some help here and there, but
yeah, I don't think she's a user. Yeah.
And I think it's an LA thing. I think people in LA, you know, tend to ask their friends and stuff for a lot of help, you know, just because the nature of the city is It's a gig economy. People need favors. People need help. People need people to help with projects. And I think that makes sense. So maybe from Molly's world, where you're in law, everything has contracts. Everything is kind of set in stone. She doesn't see that the economy, the where they live and how they live is based on favors and help me out, you know?
I really see that. Molly was just fed up with Issa and she just had her moment and blew up because they've been, you know, they've been friends for how long?
So 10 years. Something yeah.
Molly, I felt like, was just waiting to get off her chest so she can say everything that she dislikes mm-hmm. about her all at this one moment.
So she that's waits.
That's like the worst. Like, literally, like, you waited to say all the, like, the most hateful things that you could say to me. You're saying them right now because you know that there will never be a moment like this again. It's like, you're like, well, I might as well say all of the stuff that I've been waiting to say.
Yep, all of it at once. So it kind of flooded out. So at this point, I get confused. So somebody says, she reaching for a gun. I'm like, wait, nobody's reaching for anything. Why did the party break up? Just because people were arguing and people were being crazy? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, anytime you got black people in a space together and a fight break out,
mm-hmm.
I think a gun getting pulled out. It's just, and then when black people start running, you don't ask questions. You just run with the crowd.
Exactly. Except for Darnell. He was like, hey, where your British accent? She was like, I'm from Philly. Yeah, I was like, oh boy. Yeah, because now, so here's my question. Pick a side. Tiff, I'll start with you. Whose fault is it? Is it Issa's fault they had this big fight? Or is it Molly's fault? Mm. Who would you be going home with at the end of the night?
Okay, can I, before we go there, can I
ask
a question?
Yes.
I don't know if it's been, I've been gone for a second. I had to leave and come back, but I don't know if it was asked, but is there an issue with Issa going to Nate for help and then Nate asking Andrew?
We haven't talked about that. We haven't talked about that yet.
Is that a problem?
I don't know. I don't think so.
That's what this stems from.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all of this stems from. Molly didn't want to help. Molly said, no, I want to keep it separate. But Issa started getting back cool with Nate on a friendly term. And Nate was, you know, she said, and they asked her if she needed help. She was like, yeah, I need a headliner. Nate was like, hey, Issa needs some help. Can you toss her a bone?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew was like, sure, why not?
Literally. And
I think I think what Issa did was not wrong.
Yep.
Because she kept her out of it. And that was the whole point, right? I thought it had everything to do with their relationship. How you didn't want to mess things up in X, Y, and Z about your relationship. Okay, fine. I won't ask you. I ask somebody else.
But she felt like she went behind her back.
So yeah, that's
what she didn't. Like, what do you want me to do in front of you? Like, okay, so I'm gonna ask Nate.
Should she have said, well, should she have?
It's not about y'all relationship though. At this point, it's not about her. It's not about Molly at this point.
But should she have said that to her? Should she have said, Molly, can I ask Nate to ask Andrew if you don't want to ask him?
I don't think she was in the position to, because she had probably thought about it until after Nate called, because she wasn't really talking to Nate all like that.
That's right. True. You know what? That was my question. It's the same thing Kelvet asked, but now that you're saying that, I don't think it was on her mind to say, well, I'm going to just go ask Nate then. So I think, like what you're saying, Lynette, it was just in a moment.
See, I didn't have a problem with Issa asking Nate to ask Andrew, but I also don't care about the transparency. She could have even said to Molly, well, do you care if I ask him? But I know why she didn't, because she knew that they would have had to have a discussion about the deeper issues that were led to all this other stuff that led to the fight, you know. I don't know.
But then again, I think she was just trying to get a headliner. I don't think she was even really focused on the conversation she needed to have with Molly. Like I said, she's been tunnel vision for this event. She had no headliner.
Right. Okay.
I think that was the biggest issue. Like, she was just trying to get a headliner at any cost, and she wasn't really paying attention to the fact that, oh, the only thing that she thought about was, okay, well, let me keep her out of it and figure out a way to get who I need.
And that makes sense, because she was literally calling people, asking them, did they have the cell phone of a dead person? You know, she was like, she was like, oh, the phone got shot? Oh, you know, so like, you might be right. You might be right, because this was, even though they played that in a funny context, she really did go through her phone and call every single person right. in the
she
phone.
She did on Instagram. She almost DM'd Beyonce, and then she was like, nah.
She was like, Beyonce, do you think you might be a, oh, no, I better not. Yeah. Right.
that's so true. It's like there's always people who are in a place to help, and all it is sending one single email and saying, hey, can you do this? And then if they say no, they say no. But if they say yes, then that's what, how much skin was it off your back though?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And if we can go back, I understand Molly wanting to set boundaries, but I think Molly was just doing that as a dig. Like, you ain't gonna pull this off because I'm not gonna help you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I kind of just felt like Molly, it wasn't really
100% agree with that statement.
Her keeping it separate, because she would have helped Issa any other time. I think she felt kind of out of the loop all the way up. Like, oh, you need me now? No. So.
Well, I think that their identities have been.
I agree with that.
I think that their identities have been like intertwined for so long that I think that maybe Molly felt like Issa trying to do something and have success without her was some kind of slight on Molly and her friendship. So maybe that was part of it too.
Molly's selfish.
Issa's only selfish. She's situationally selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But Issa's nature is not to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I think she just had that, like you said, tunnel vision because of the event. I don't think she's a selfish person at all.
Right.
But I think Molly is very selfish. I mean, like she said, I think that was definitely a dig, because you could have did that for her. That wasn't going to do nothing to your relationship. Hey, Andrew's a cool guy. He ain't even like that.
But I think that Molly didn't do it because we have seen Issa be a mess up in the past. And she, now what happens if this block party really didn't turn out like a block party and it was just three people there standing around in front of a little piece of wood that we call in the stage, like, and then they brought in this headliner. So that's why
that speaks volumes of your friendship, because even if I fail 6,000 times, you being a friend, I need you to support me in every failure. At least I'm trying.
I don't know. She didn't want to support her. She wasn't there for it.
The build up off of a conversation they should have had before Thanksgiving. And we
right.
going to, it's January, maybe February now?
Yeah, it's so January, yep.
About November. And here it is, toward the end of January, beginning of February, where they haven't still had a conversation about their relationship.
That's a good point. Yeah, so it has been since November, and this is January, and y'all still haven't carved out 30 minutes to have this conversation.
And that's, like I said, it's the communication issue with
them. So with that being said...
It's a communication issue with them.
So with that being said, Tiffany... Whose fault is it? Is it Issa's fault that they had to fight? Or is it Issa's fault they had to fight? Or is it Molly's fault they had to fight?
It is... Man, that's tough because, I mean, there's so many people wrong on so many sides, but right now, in this moment, the reason that they are fighting is because Molly chose to do it at this place and time. Mm-hmm. If for any other reason than place and time of this argument, it is Molly's fault. You could have made the decision to hold off till later.
Okay. Aaronette, your turn. whose fault is it? Is it Molly or is it Issa's fault?
I'm gonna have to agree with Tiff as far as the timing of it all. Like, this could have been, I know in the heat of the moment, they're both at fault because they should have had that conversation months ago. But right now is not the time for it. So I'm going to say Molly.
All right. Lynette, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that they had this fight?
If I have to choose, even though I think there is both of their fault, if I have to choose, I definitely would think Molly. Because if they had the way the, well, you don't ever want to be like, well, you did this and you did that, but she did a lot of stuff. Molly has done a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff, more so than Issa has, even though Issa has had her piece. But I definitely think that Molly, like everyone else has said, timing is everything, and that ain't the time. It was not the time, nor the place, nor the opportunity to have this discussion. And it was very immature of her, to me, to have that type of conversation right then and there, and the fact that she went off the way she did.
And was embarrassed. Like, dude, why are we doing this now?
Exactly. Like, that's just...
Awkward for everybody.
Yeah. So I think
Issa good, because she bucked at her, but I would have went forward with the buck.
Oh, you would have slapped her down?
You would have had some follow through than that.
Because I mean, we here already, so you might as well go forward.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying.
Who you think will win, Molly or Issa?
Issa.
I don't know. I feel they both. I don't know. Molly got, she run her mouth a lot, but I feel like Issa, she's just awkward. I don't think either of them would actually know how to hit each other. It would just be real weird looking fighting.
I don't know. Character wise, I'm gonna say Molly probably would have tapped that ass.
You think so?
I think Molly would have got her.
I definitely think Issa would have got beat up, because Molly would have grabbed that hair. Because Issa got a wig on.
I think Molly got the wig.
Molly got that wig on.
I think Mayor Issa would have came out.
Mayor Issa? Well, she probably already is there. This is the alternate universe.
Mayor Issa is as gangsta as Molly, though. With Molly being her little, where's she from? Crenshaw?
Yeah. So after this fight, you know, Molly and Issa kind of part ways, and the music at this point is so telling. The music says, then the music says, where do we go from here? You know, is this the end? And is there a chance for their relationship to be mended? And I mean, do they got a chance to work through this? Okay, Lynette's saying yes. Yeah, they got a chance to work through this.
Whew. Yeah, I mean,
think they do, because they have so much history together.
Mm-hmm. I think they do, because they didn't physically hit each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
they have to be willing. They can, but I don't know if they're going to be willing, because you both parties have to be, you know, participants in wanting to make this work. So we just gonna have to see. And then I also think that you're gonna have their friends taking sides as well.
They kind of already did. Yeah. So, where Tiffany was with Issa, and yeah. So Molly and Andrew were at the car and they hugged it out, and Tiffany and Nathan were with Issa, and you know, Issa takes a look at the good vibe sign. And then it starts to rain.
I'm glad it started raining then, though.
Yeah.
At that point, everything is over. Everything is said and done. We done already fought. I think it kind of really set the mood for the whole thing. Like, if it would have started raining, or that argument, it would have been a different
story. But maybe the rain coming at that point was just saying that the storm is just starting.
Mm.
So maybe this is the beginning of the storm. That's we hadn't even gotten to the storm yet. Yeah. So the wind down talked about, and this is the end of the episode, but the wind down talked about imposter syndrome. Do you guys know what imposter syndrome is? So
where you trying to be somebody you ain't?
Imposter syndrome actually affects a lot of people. And what it is where you yourself are having successes in your life, but you are struggling dealing with the fact that your brain is telling you that you're not good enough. So you're almost an imposter in the sense that you feel like what you're doing doesn't match. Like a lot of times it happens to women when they have successful careers and they're saying to themselves the whole time, I'm really not actually good at my job. I really don't know what I'm doing. You feel like an imposter. You feel like you're faking your way through something. And the wind down was talking about how Issa, the character, was struggling with imposter syndrome and how the whole time she was, you know, putting on this big show, this huge block party that was a huge hit. But the whole time she was kind of dealing with the fact that she didn't know if she was going to be able to pull it off, you know. So, and that's kind of, I have imposter syndrome about this podcast sometimes. Like sometimes things just keep happening. And I'm like, is this real? Is this going to happen? Is it working? Is it working? Is it not working? Is it, you know, is it going to get traction? Am I going to remember to post? You know, so imposter syndrome is very real because it affects a lot of different people. You know, have you guys ever struggled with imposter syndrome or have you heard anything, know anything about it or?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think things happen, and especially as a woman, we're very quick to be like, oh, well, it wasn't nothing, or we downplay the success of it. We're like, oh, well, I mean, it could have been better, or it could have. We don't just take it and say, oh, yeah, that was all me. It's like, yes, it's like I did. I put my heart into this. I put my everything into it and it turned out amazing. I'm so happy. It's like we struggle to say that because we'll give ourselves like a neg real quick about something. Oh, well, I think the lighting could have been better. Oh, I think the sound could have been better. It's like, well, we're quick to say those things instead of being like, yo, I finished this thing and it was amazing.
Right. Right. And that was kind of what Issa was saying about her character dealing with this whole block party, which I didn't think it was going to be on that scale. That was a huge undertaking. And it turned out absolutely beyond anybody's wildest dreams. I mean, they closed down multiple streets. You know, she had multiple acts there, you know, back when it was talking about TBD and I'm on my way to D-ing them. You know, that was way 2 seasons ago they talked about that. So,
and I think too, like us as women, we have this issue with false humility, and I think that's what that really is, and us like a false humility as it pertains to our successes, and how if we praise ourselves too much, then we don't have any humility. So then we create this false humility to be like, oh, you know, it's just, you know, it's just this, or, you know, it could have been better. And then you try to find flaws just instead of just saying, I did that. And be okay with it. That doesn't mean that you don't have any humility. That means that you are celebrating a moment that you have worked hard and was successful in, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you guys, we are halfway through the season. We are halfway. We are at episode 6 next week. And I thank whoever is listening to this and going on this journey with us. I thank you so much. And we got 5 more episodes to do. So we got 5 more Insecure podcasts to do. And I really appreciate everybody who's been supporting the page and supporting the podcast, the Meanwhile podcast on Instagram. And I really thank you all. So make sure you follow all my Insecuties. That's y'all new names. You know, it's your girl TB on Instagram. Be Lynn Beautiful on Instagram. And Nettie, say yours, Nettie.
It's NetNet876.
NetNet876 on Instagram. So make sure you guys follow us and support us and support the page. Give this a thumbs up. Give this a thumbs up. Give it 5 stars, even if you didn't like it, because we want other people to experience what you just experienced. Okay? So if you hated it, give us 5 stars. If you loved it, give it 5 stars, because we just want to keep getting people out there listening to the podcast. Any final words, ladies, insecurities?
I'm ready for Black Mirror.
So, stay blessed.
The next episode is going to be a Black Mirror episode. Absolutely. All right. Stay blessed. Stay safe. Thanks. Thank you, Lynette. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Nat, and Tiff.